I feel like I carried us last week.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't know what carrying means. You all right?
Sure.
Was that a bad burn or?
No, it's
too soon.
It's fine.
Hashtag too soon.
Hashtag let Adam pick again.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 353 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Nothing.
More of the same.
Yeah.
Hey, my knee's still bugging me, man.
Okay.
So I'm going to see you in a few weeks. It looks from now, a few weeks. I'll see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to fix it.
Okay.
Like, I'll only see you probably for that one evening where we play poker and you win and then drop me off somewhere in a neighborhood I don't live in.
Right.
Listen back to last year. Anyways, yeah, so in that couple hours, if you could go ahead and fix my knee, that'd be swell.
Okay, doc.
Okay. If you do need a new knee, buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
Click through our site and help us out.
They probably have knee models.
How do you get a gig doing that?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, our clinic has, you know, model of the knee and the shoulder and whatnot, so I bet you there's a knee model on there. So you could get one and better understand your knee.
Oh, I thought you meant, like how George Costanza was a hand model.
Oh.
I thought you meant that. Oh, no, I don't want to understand my knee. I want it to be good.
Okay.
Gotcha. I haven't been able to go running, man. I want to go running. The pool is closed. The Freibad, the outdoor pool where I swim all summer. Yeah. And I can't swim inside here. It's terrible. You cannot swim laps in the pool inside here in Germany because it's just a gong show. People just swim every direction. Like they don't put lanes out, so it's just mass confusion. The people who invented the Autobahn cannot swim in a straight line for some reason.
Interesting.
Not really interesting, but yet frustrating. Really frustrating. So
perplexing.
So yeah, my point being, I want to get out and do some of the running and cannot until you fix my knee for me.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Nope.
No, last week was your week.
Yeah, this week it's your turn.
I was, where was I? I was working, yeah, I was working here at home on something, sort of in the evening, about now, a now-ish, so probably around 7 o'clock at night, and, yeah, that's right, that's what I was doing, my son was at soccer practice with my wife, and my daughter had gone, and they come home, and I'm in the middle of something, and my daughter runs in the room, with her bike helmet still on. Daddy, Daddy, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. I was like, oh, what's going on? It's like, you know, is Lassie trapped in a well? Like, what? No, Daddy, Daddy, who's Lassie? Like, what are you talking about, Dad? And we spent half an hour on that. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
But then she said, no, Daddy, 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 you got to come with me. There's this beautiful light. We're riding home and riding past the cornfield, and because that's where I live, you know. My son rides home from soccer practice past a cornfield. And you got to come take my picture. Come take my picture down at the cornfield. I said, wow, like I'm impressed like that my daughter is, you know, A, recognizing good light. B, is essentially the polar opposite of your son, who just does not want his picture taken.
Right.
But she just recognized the great light. And so we went, I went, yeah, I said, great. So I jumped on my bike and we rode down there. And the light was beautiful on the cornfield, except the cornfield had just been, I don't know, what do you call it when you cut it all down and take it in? Mowed? Do you mow a cornfield?
No, it's not mowed. Husked?
Harvest.
Harvested?
Harvested? Harvested?
Sure.
I feel like I know more about Frolf than I do about corn harvesting. which is unfortunate. But anyway, so it all been cut down. So the field itself was horrible looking, but she was right. It was an amazing golden light. And so we just kept riding a little bit further to a bike path, and I said, okay, go up there. First of all, take your helmet off for the picture. We can't, you know, you want to look cool, right?
Right.
And so she, yeah, no problem, rode up the hill and then kind of rode back towards me, and that's the picture I took. So I posted that one picture. This was her, my daughter, recognizing the golden light.
Nice.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Mm-hmm. And I was not in the mood to take pictures either. I was kind of in the middle of a project and just wanted to finish. But I said, you know what? I kind of appreciate her attitude and was thrilled with the results. So kind of like what you did last week about putting yourself in a good position, like with your wife's profile pic.
Right.
You know, instead of lighting it all, just making it very, very simple. This is the exact same thing. Recognize a good situation, get out there and snap, and, you know, snapped a couple of photos, and that was it. Didn't have to do much messing around. I think this is the 5D Classic with the 70 to 200. Probably racked out at about 200. I forget on this one. I might have zoomed out as she approached me. So this might have been in between the 70 and the 200 somewhere.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So good. Probably
it's
an
nice. Yeah.
F8 to sort of maintain some background. Maybe an F5-6.
Yeah, so. I'm going to say it's not an F8. The foreground goes out of focus too.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a, well, yeah. It must be. I'm gonna go ahead now based on this, say F5-6 at about 135 mils.
Yes.
That's my guess. All right. Trying to sneak shoehorn Exavoku back into the show. Not gonna.
That's so. What I realized was, I, you know what? I went back. Remember I said, it was two episodes ago that I said to you after off the air that I was going to go back and re-listen to that episode because there's something that really made me laugh. Yeah. It was the Exifoku comment.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. And I listened to the whole episode just for that 3 seconds that I was really laughing because I knew there was a moment, I couldn't remember what the line was, that I laughed. And even through the next thing that you were talking about, I was still laughing under my breath.
Okay.
And it was the Exifoku about somebody wanting to reverse engineer the Exifoku information or whatever. And
for listening back.
Yeah. Again, all for 4 seconds.
Yeah. 4 seconds of remirth.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I got the EXIF data up here. I'm way off on this one.
Okay, what is it? Let's hear it.
It's F4 at 200 mils.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, again, for me, I knew it couldn't be the F8 because of how much out of focus the background is and how much the foreground, which is relatively close to the subject, is pretty out of focus as well.
Right.
So right, I know this lens, and I thought the 5.6 was possible, just not the F8.
I guess where I messed up is that if she had been closer to the camera, like if I let her in another, you know, second and a half and ride closer where she's filling the frame, the background would have been way out of focus.
Yeah.
And that's where so in my head I was thinking, no, can't be F4 because that would have been way out. But yeah, just having her that deep in the picture gives you a much, you know, deeper.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Good picture though. So
yeah, she likes it. She's happy with her. So anyways, monthly challenge. Last week we issued the monthly challenge for October. It is fall colors because guess what's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Fall colors. You didn't have to guess. You pretty much knew it.
I knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Photo challenge for this week. We're going to motor right into it.
Excellent.
Yeah. In the kitchen. So when does this air? It airs on Thanksgiving.
In Canada.
Canadian Thanksgiving. So today is Canadian Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Or Columbus Day, I believe.
Okay.
In America.
If you're so they have the holiday on that same day?
I believe it's the same day, yeah.
Okay, they just have the real Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving, doesn't occur until November, right?
You don't have to say American Thanksgiving. Theirs is the Thanksgiving. Ours is the pretend Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Much how, like last week, I expressed how our Niagara Falls is the real falls. I don't even know why we call it Thanksgiving. That's kind of silly.
Yeah.
How we have appropriated it, had it 6 weeks earlier in October when the weather is still nice usually, And then we'll have some turkey too. Did you have turkey today, right now, while we're listening to this? Did you make turkey?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we did not.
Okay.
What'd you make, Alan? Okay, I'll tell you. Hey, you want to know?
Sure.
Pierogies, homemade pierogies.
Oh, I wish we had that.
Yeah?
No, I like turkey.
You don't like pierogies?
Oh, they're okay.
You ever made homemade ones?
No. Gosh, no. Chimo. Cheese in a...
Yeah.
Yeah, in a bag.
Yeah. All right. Great. And we're lulling here. Let's
cut.
Be honest.
Yeah, and cut.
All right. So the photo challenge is in the kitchen. So you went first last week. I'm going to go first this week. So I submitted two pictures again because I can't choose. No, I can. There's a reason I submitted two.
Okay.
But the wider one is the one I'm going with as my challenge.
I like the other one better.
Yeah, me too. That's why I submitted it. That's why I put it up there because, and this is a lesson to everybody who wants a lesson. This is what I had in my mind. I envisioned this picture in my mind's eye.
The second one or the first one?
The first one. That's what I envisioned. It was going to be amazing, dude. It was just amazing. Like, this would have been something you would have said, oh, man, you win every photo challenge we've ever had. This is...
Right.
Okay, not that. Not that good. But so many good elements here. This is a shelf my dad made. And even though I'm not a humongous fan of the Roman OG style, which is what I believe the... I'm not even sure now if it is. The router bit on the bottom of the shelf, like the underside.
Yeah.
Is that style. I'm not a fan of that style, but the rest of it I love. Like, my dad made this. He makes these shelves. Huge fan of these. I have about three or four of them on my walls here in Germany. Love that. Love, like, just it makes for a great photo. Like, I really like the simple design. They're great. We keep our food in these old... Classico pasta jars because they're really great looking. I have different kinds of food going on here, different colors, different levels in like it just. This is a phenomenal picture. Until I took it, and then I got on the computer and looked at it and went, "Well, this isn't anything. This is terrible."
It's
not terrible, but it's not good. You don't look at this and go, "Oh, well, that's the guy I'm hiring."
Right.
This guy. And so I even lit this, by the way. We didn't have the sunshine. I wanted the nice golden sun because in our kitchen we get the nice golden sun at a certain time of the day, not this time. So I went and put a flash outside the kitchen window, which is hard to get to. You have to kind of go around the house at our place to get to it. So it's kind of annoying. But put it on there on probably quarter power, full zoom, 85 mil. Threw a CTO on it and aimed it. Aimed it for here, so it kind of looked like that late evening sun.
Mm-hmm.
Angled it so that we'd kind of get, you know, the top of the picture would, you know, would come through the shutters, the roll shutters would kind of cut the top off, so it would be like a slash of light.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom was just it was all perfectly lit. And I said, well, I need like a shadow in there. I need something. I need a gobo. So grab the basil plant. In our kitchen, had my wife hold it up in front of the window, and so that's our basil plant breaking up the bottom of the image. So all gotcha. In my head, this is turning out to just to be a championship photo. And then I get it back in the and I want it to be square crop too, you know, just to sort of suck up to Instagram.
Sure.
Get back here, sit at the computer, and realize I did not execute. It's just kind of blah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what's going on here? Is this too many shadows? What's the subject?
Well, you got the symmetry of the shelf mixed with the asymmetry of all the light, right? And so
yeah.
I think that's where your crop photo is so much better because you get rid of all that asymmetry and then you kind of cut to the chase of really what the subject of your photo is about, because it's just, what is the subject of that first photo? There's just too many elements going on.
The ficus plant.
Exactly, competing for your eye's attention versus mm-hmm. the second one where you really hone in on, okay, here's what I'm after. Now, you lose a little bit of the shelf in the process, making it a square crop, but you gain, you don't need it. And you get rid of a lot of the distracting shadows, and you kind of focus on where the light is really actually cool and interesting, and everything is now symmetrical, and now it's a good photo. So
yes, and so it's the same photo, just cropped. I didn't reshoot it.
Yeah,
it's just moved in, cropped. And I 100% agree that this is the better photo. This would be my submission, except for I don't want to cheat. That other one was my vision, and that's what I'm going with. And no, I'm not. Delete that other one. But that one's terrible. I actually like this other image. It's not perfect. Like had I known I was going to shoot this in tight, I would have probably lit it a little bit differently. Maybe would have brought the light up a little bit so it kind of comes slashing down. It doesn't need to be almost a horizontal light. But again, when you're working by yourself, you're on a bit of a tight time frame. Running back and forth in and out of the house to set the light is kind of a pain. So I would like to have next time you're over at the house, we'll reshoot this. That's what I'm telling you.
Sure.
And I'll just yell out the window to you. Higher. Higher. More basal shadow. So the good news is it did smell great because the fresh basil is delightful.
Right.
All right. So that's in the kitchen. All right. Let's look at yours. You got, I can't think of his name. I had a joke all chambered.
And now Terminator?
No.
Brian Bosworth?
Nah, it wasn't him. No, Jim McMahon.
Sure.
That was the joke.
Jim McMahon,
I was going with.
Yeah. Boz and Jim McMahon, I think it's the same style. In the kitchen. This is in my kitchen.
This technically is the kitchen.
And much like your, window light that comes through like early evening golden light, that's the situation I saw on the wall. And I thought, okay, there's nothing on that wall other than some pictures. And technically, I could have just shot a photo of the photos on the wall in my kitchen, but instead I said, nope, let's make it a portrait because that's kind of what I tend to do. And I thought, he said in the kitchen, so this is in the kitchen. So my son agreed for 3.5 seconds to stand there, and he said, it's way too bright, so I'm throwing my sunglasses on. And I said, no problem, Boz, I don't care. And then I snapped this photo, which I kind of like. In all honesty, I kind of like this. Mm-hmm. I like the way the light falls off, and I the shadow on the wall with his head I could do without, but it's just that's the situation that presented itself. And I shot this, I think I took 3 pictures, and I shot it in this orientation, and then I shot it up and down, which I really didn't like. Mm-hmm. And straight out of camera, there's really nothing done to this photo whatsoever.
Be that as it may, Alex, those people have never been in my kitchen.
That's what I would thought about. Like, that's exactly the quote that popped into my head was 3 people that have never been in my kitchen. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of getting this one on in the kitchen on a technicality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, obviously I like it because it includes a photo in the background that I shot.
I knew you would like that. There I actually made sure to get him out of the way enough that you would be able to tell that was a photo that you had taken.
And then 2 that you took.
Yes.
So I'm not sure the one above must be your daughter. But
It's a dance photo, yeah.
He's technically in this shot 3 times.
Yes, he is, yeah.
All right. It is a cool effect, and it might be... This was natural? You didn't like this?
No, all natural, yeah.
Yeah, so this is something that you might, keep in your back pocket for another situation where it's that time of day, and you think, oh, hey, yeah. Like, no one wants to come in here and get their picture taken. But if they did... This would be a cool spot for it because it does look good with the blinds and all that. The blinds that we don't have
right
here in Germany, which I kind of miss. I kind of like those blinds. It kind of adds that film noir look. So next time you're shooting a film noir challenge, which we'll throw in sometime, I'll make sure you can shoot it around your kitchen light schedule.
Okay, thank you.
I think you're all set. All right, topic for this week. Is wide-angle portraits. Taking portraits of people with a wide-angle lens. Normally, we take portraits. What do we grab? What lens do we grab?
85.
That's the go-to. That's right out of the gate. It's that or the 70 to 200, which we go back and forth. But my initial instinct is grab that 85. 135, also a very, very popular focal length for portraits. Now, okay. You and I have been preaching this for years about, yeah, doing portrait, grab that. And we're not going to stop. That's the spoiler here. We're not going to stop preaching it. They look good. Portraits taken with those long lenses look good.
Right.
Why?
Because they compress people's features.
For example, that's the first note I wrote, was the compressing the features. But when we say features, what do we really mean?
Noses.
Noses.
Yeah.
They do. They squish it down, and which is weird because, you know, turns out I think, you know, everybody sort of has different ideas of beauty and like what you're, I don't know, how do you say it? Like, I wouldn't say attracted to, but like, say what you're attracted to. What you find attractive in let's say like in actresses or you know models or whoever it is. People have different things they're attracted to, like in terms of like facial features, for example.
Right.
Me, for one, I happen to like larger noses.
Okay.
Like aesthetically, like not wildly, you know. Not Jimmy Durante. I'd make out with Jimmy Durante on a bet. That's no, not now, obviously. But it's something I happen to like. But generally, but when you are shooting people with larger noses, and you look at some of the more famous actors and actresses, they do have sort of a lot of them have prominent noses. Like you'll see them in person and think, oh wow, I never would have thought that. But then. You see them photographs or you photograph them and think, oh yeah, well sure, no, it makes sense. Like when it's all shot with an 85 or longer, it looks right.
I just Googled images of Jimmy Durante.
Yeah.
And almost all of his photos really accentuate the angle. He's always turned to the side to show right. you how big the nose is. Even in the professionally done photos, they're all that way.
Should I have actually picked someone else then? Jennifer Grey.
No, it's just
pre-nose job Jennifer Grey.
It's just awesome how, like, the photographers all play it up rather than try to play it down. It's like, no, we're turning you to the side and we're showing this honker. Yeah, he totally owned it.
I believe his nickname was the Schnoz.
Oh, how could it not be?
Of course, you got to run with it. But it's funny, we're kind of sidetracked here, but one of the most famous cases is Jennifer Grey, the actress in Dirty Dancing and
right
and Red Dawn. And
sure. I thought she was only ever in one movie.
Ferris Bueller.
Oh, that's right. Ferris Bueller yeah. too, yeah.
No, she wildly attractive. Like I everybody else really liked her. And then her career, so I guess somebody told her she needed a nose cuz she had a rather large nose.
Yeah.
And somebody had convinced her along the way that you better let her lob that thing off. And it just killed her career. Like you barely saw her after that.
I don't think there's anything that I saw.
I guarantee you have seen her and did not know it was her.
Okay.
She showed up. She had like a bit part or a couple of episodes on the TV show Friends.
Okay.
Post nose job, and had it been the Dirty Dancing Jennifer Grey, you would have noticed her right away. You did not notice her. So. Odd that that's the case, but I happen to like that. I think it photographs well, but a lot of times it's because we shoot with the 85. You know, if you're shooting with like the 17 mil, and if it's fine if you want to accentuate Jimmy Durante's features, but it's not always super flattering, right?
Yeah.
So long lenses are flattering. Also, they eliminate the background most times. Like you can. It's very easy to eliminate the background in right. both field of view, meaning you don't see a lot of it from side to side or up or down, but also the depth of field. It's really easy to have a shallow depth of field and eliminate the background, which is tough to do with a wide angle.
Correct.
So why go wide? We're talking about wide angle portraits, something I don't do nearly enough. Why should we go wide?
You can create a completely different perspective. I mean, mm-hmm. I did a bunch of this on my holiday when I was in, where did I go in the summer?
Soyuz.
Soyuz, that's right. I knew you would be able to recall the name. I did this a whole bunch with my kids.
I remember because the soyuz is an Indian word for, hey, where's my ring?
that's a good one. I did a whole bunch of this. I did a whole bunch of these shots with my kids, and I really like them. Unfortunately, again, the creepy internet factor of my kids in their bathing suits and whatnot, I did not post these photos, but I would like to. I need them to have more clothes on, though.
Right.
So I got the photographic juices going when I saw, again, I'm going to bring it up again, the Greg Lee Heisler book. There's a photo in there of Tiger Woods on the golf course. You'll mm-hmm. we'll remember the photo for sure. And it's
is
kind
that
of
the
like
mini, the mini flags.
Yeah, so he's on like a putting green, and he's shot with a wide angle from low to high, and it's basically meant, you know, at the time he was essentially unbeatable in golf, and he wanted a photo that sort of conveyed that this guy is the giant of golf. And so he's low, the camera's low, he's shooting up on a super wide angle, and the flag is small, and it just looks awesome. Now, you know, the feet and the lower legs in the photo appear really large, and as you go up, you know, his head is much smaller. It's a very interesting looking perspective, and it keeps the background all in focus, but because it's shot low to high, really the background is mostly blue sky, and you know, there's nothing there that needs to be out of focus. Mm-hmm. And it's not distracting at all, and I just loved that effect. And so I, you know, when we were in a Soyuz, I shot several photos of my kids in this manner, like one where my daughter, a photo I really love, but again, won't post, of my daughter, and she's got that raft that she had, like that raft, she was floating around the lake, and I had her basically do the Tiger Woods thing. She put the oar around her shoulder, she put one foot on the raft, and then I got super low with basically just a little bit of the lake and the sand in the background, and then rest of it's just blue sky, and then I lit it, and I was super proud of it. And I thought, this is, I went in with that exact image of the Tiger Woods photo, and I created something that was, you know, pretty much exactly what I had envisioned afterwards, but yet I could not post it.
Right.
So it is, it's just a cool looking perspective that immediately just kind of draws attention to other things rather than, you know, in a typical close up portrait with an 85, it's really about, you know, the eyes and then the out of focus bokeh, whatever you've got in the background.
Right. And it is, and the wide ones are, they are much more challenging. But also, it I find for me, besides that part, besides the cool looking perspective, it adds context. Like you're forced to put your subject in a context.
Right.
And I find that that's missing in a lot of my shots. And I think about it, like I strive for these perfect people shots, but then lose the surroundings. You know,
right.
Where were we? What was going on there? That kind of thing. So trying to, you know, backtrack and say, let's shoot some wide angle ones. I think you nailed it right from the beginning. Like the first thing you said was you need a good background. Tiger Woods, you know, that Greg Heisler guy, that hack. He had, you know, the nice blue sky, but like what, you know, it didn't take away from the image. You don't want anything distracting.
Right,
you know, at the lake in a Soyuz, you're going to get a great background. Like you could get bad backgrounds, but if you put yourself in a good position and find, okay, I would like that interesting background without being completely distracting, and that can be anything. Like that can be, for me, you know, you think about it, it can be trees or ocean. It can be buildings too. Like buildings can be an amazing background for a wide angle portrait. I kind of, whatever it is, whatever you choose, I sort of prefer to that it be relatively cohesive. Right. Meaning you don't have trees, oceans, and buildings, and cars, and. You want stuff that kind of ties together and then kind of serves your subject.
Right.
But it can serve your subject in one of, well, I'm assuming one of two ways. In my head, it's one of two ways. It can either complement your subject, meaning you're going to take a picture of a mechanic, an auto mechanic. Well, you can shoot them in the garage with a bunch of cars around. That's going to complement your subject.
Right.
Or you could contrast it. You know, like, I don't know. I can't think of any example of that necessarily. A fireman in a swimming pool. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. But that's contrast. Like a fish out of water, something where you would not think that they would be, and completely reverse it. That's more artsy, and that's probably not my style.
I'm anti art.
That's good. Yeah, wonderful. That's the worst gallery, by the way. Damn it! You know what? I got halfway through that and figured out the better joke.
Okay, what's the better joke? Let's hear it. Start again.
Okay, you say anti art.
I'm anti art.
So was Paul Simon.
You're right. That was better.
Yeah. Well, I'll just delete that. I'll just edit that so it worked out better. Do you think it was Art Garfunkel who split the group up? Like, listen, Paul, this isn't working.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on my own.
Way better than you.
Yeah. Why don't you go do some of that other stuff? Yeah, I'll take it from here. Thanks. Yeah. Probably not the conversation. All right. So when you are doing this, now here's some tips on how to take a wide angle portrait. Assuming, I mean, if you want to go for the sort of distorted like the on purpose distortion that Adam's talking about having his daughter and the foot be large and all that, like, that's okay. But let's say you don't want to do that. Let's say you want to avoid some distortion, but you are shooting with a wide angle lens, something in, like, say, the 17 to 24 range.
Okay.
What would you do to avoid distortion in your subject?
Don't be super close to them.
Yeah, you don't want to be too close because that is going to be just...
That exaggerates the distortion.
That is really going to... Yeah, you can't really do much about that. But also, if you have them off to the edge of the frame, you're going to see a lot of distortion. Yeah,
that distorts as well. So middle of the frame, not too close.
It doesn't have to be middle, but towards the center.
Okay.
Like, somewhere in that area, like, a little off the side is okay. We still want to appreciate the rule of thirds. It can still apply. You just don't want them right off to the edge, you know? And so it is kind of progressive. So you'll see if they're in the center, they'll be fine. As they move to the edge of the frame, they'll get more and more distorted. So a little bit you probably won't notice, but a lot you're going to notice. They're going to lose their shape. Also, this other move is something that's good luck doing it with kids, that's for sure. You want to try to keep your subject equidistant from the lens. Meaning what you talked about. If the foot's closer to the lens, it's going to appear huge. And the same with your hands or whatever you have. If it's not within the same focal plane, it is likely going to appear massive, like way out of proportion massive.
Right.
Which you can use to effect as with the Tiger Woods shot, with your daughter shot. That's okay. We know that you're going for that. But there's times when if you don't know, if it's an accident, it can just look goofy. And you don't want to be doing that. Like, there's not quite the same thing, but... Every promotional picture for the music group The Doors, you'll notice that Jim Morrison is standing like 12 feet in front of everybody else.
Yeah,
and it's because in real life apparently he was a short little fella.
Okay,
but that wasn't the image they wanted to portray, which was the one big knock. Even though Val Kilmer was great in the movie The Doors, and I actually liked that movie. The whole knock was that, yeah, he's about a foot taller than Jim Morrison was. Other than that, bang on. But, so, go ahead and Google a couple images at your leisure, and you'll see, oh, yeah, they're kind of forcing that. They're making him look bigger by having him in the foreground. So objects may be closer than they appear or something like that. Point is, be aware of this when you're shooting with a wide angle.
Right.
Other challenge. Here's a big challenge in it, is your depth of field. Is now a massive issue. See, whereas with the long, what we talked about, being able to isolate your subject with the long lens by having a narrow depth of field, you can't do that now. You're really hard pressed. If you're shooting in the 17 to 24 range, everything's going to be in focus.
Right.
So you better pick a nice background. That's why we pick a nice background, because you're going to see it.
Right.
right? Latitude is also can now become a huge problem. Just because when we're shooting with a long lens, our field of view is narrow, and thus we're cutting out so much of the background. So if we're in a situation where we have like a well-lit subject, let's say we're in open shade, like you did with your wife last week.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shooting with a super wide-angle lens, now all of a sudden you're including a whole portion of the sky that you wouldn't otherwise include.
Right.
And thus, if the latitude is too much, you're going to see it. Now you can get around it with the long lens. Wide angle, you're not. So you have to put yourself in a really good position for, you know, you can't eliminate your sky or any unwanted light sources. You better know what you're doing. You can mitigate that, by the way, with supplemental lighting. Let's say you have a super bright sky that you're going to include. Well, now you can stop. Like the photo I took of my kids out by the Osei, the one with the blue and the orange. You remember that one from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, they are sitting on the rock, or
yes,
is that the one? Yeah,
yeah. So that's a wide angle, I guess, a portrait. It was a wide angle shot of them, where I included the sky. The sky was blown out. I had to stop down to include the sky, and then lit them. So you can light your subject to mitigate the for the background.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue now becomes. As soon as you shoot with a wide angle, now the lights have to be further back because you're going to see them.
Yeah, and that can be sometimes a problem too because you're going to need a lot of power from your flash.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to do this, you know, in the daytime, that can be problematic.
It can, yes, absolutely can be. And what that means is, like, if you're shooting in the daytime and trying to, even in the early evening, and you're trying to knock down that sky, you're going to have to stop down so much that you're probably not going to be able to throw an umbrella on that light.
No, definitely. It's bare flash for sure.
Yeah.
I know this just because that's what I did in the photos that I took of my kids, you know, doing this wide-angle approach in a Soyuz was that, it was midday, so you can only get the sky so dark based on, you know, I was shooting like 19 millimeters or something, like as you know, wide angle as I could for the distortion effect that I wanted, and then, you know, bare flash, and I needed to gel the flash because I wanted it to look like kind of like, again, like a sort of I don't know what they would do on a magazine, right? Like mm-hmm. the those kind of photos where it's, you know, it looks like sunset. And so trying to do that and putting a gel on it, it's full power and bare flash and then just a hair out of frame.
Right. Which is far. I mean, if you're at 200 mils, all of a sudden you can put that in an umbrella, have the shoot through umbrella be just out of frame. Well, that's going to be, you know, 6 millimeters from her face.
Right.
And now you can shoot that at 1/32nd power, whereas the other way, no, you got so much ground to cover. It's just, it really limits you. Now, that limitation can be fun. That, again, that's part of the challenge, and what are you going to do with that? And that's the shot of my kids is a bare flash. Mm-hmm. It's also I wasn't going to bring an umbrella set up on vacation, but I knew before I even left the house, you know, a week earlier, that I was going to shoot a photo like that with a bare flash. I knew going in it was going to be bare flash.
Right.
Also, if you do have if you're shooting wide angle with an umbrella, like maybe it's darker or whatnot, you're setting yourself up for a lot of lens flare issues because that light is just bouncing all around. You're including so much of it. Even if you do have a lens hood, it's not going to be not going to do a whole lot. And so you have to be really cognizant of where the light's coming into your lens.
Okay, good pointer, because, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
The other thing is when you're shooting wide, a wide-angle portrait, sort of a environmental portrait, I suppose, is what you're looking at, is separation becomes a lot more difficult. Because the tools that you normally use, like, for example, depth of field, are gone. If you blur the background, it's very easy to separate your subject from the background. If it's wide and everything's in focus, you better be on your game, which means position them against the blue sky, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got that separation. But if they're in something, you know, cluttered or similar colors or that, they're not going to stick out. And so you have to figure out another way to do that. Maybe leading lines, or there's a bunch of ways to do it. For me, it would be paying attention to the background patterns versus solid colors. If you're shooting in color, I would definitely pay attention to what color goes over what. You know, like have a, you know, orange over a blue sky or something like that. They're going to stand out.
Right.
If you're in black and white, it's going to be hard. Can be hard. So, and the last hurdle I think that I feel like you have to overcome in when shooting a wide angle portrait is if your subject knows anything about photography, they're going to be very self-conscious getting shot with a wide angle lens.
Okay, so shoot people who are unaware.
Yeah, shoot idiots. That's what I'm saying. Well, no, I mean, because you must have dealt with people. I've dealt with people who, just last week I shot some portraits of people who were way too self-conscious. They're both actresses. And so they know about makeup, and they weren't wearing what they wanted to wear that day. They know about, you know, lighting. They know a little, like, they don't know about lighting, but they know a little bit enough to be dangerous. And they weren't uncooperative, but they were aware of everything about what lens, like kind of, you know, shooting with a long lens, is what's going on here. And so you might have to convince your subject not to be so self-conscious if it's a wide-angle lens.
Gotcha.
So that's it. That's the challenge for next week.
Wide-angle portrait or environmental portrait?
Wide-angle portrait.
Okay.
That's what we're calling it. That's for next week. The monthly challenge for the following month, for October, is fall colors. No light painting required.
Great.
And that's it. Websites. Awesome. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAttridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, the photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.